What's up, everybody? My name is Matt, and this is the Nintendo Fever Podcast, episode number 93. I know it's been a very long time, but I'm back this week with some good news, some bad news, and indifferent news as well. But as always, I shouldn't say as always, because it turns out you're holding down the fort better than I'm holding down the fort right now. But thank you so much for all the solo episodes and all the work and the effort that you've been putting in. But my co-host, Holly, how are you doing this week?
It's been a good week. I'm doing great. How are you, Matt?
I'm doing okay. It's been very, very busy for me. I don't know if we want to get into any of the craziness, but like I had my daughter's birthday come up, and then we had some other family things come up, and then I also left to go to Arkansas for a week for my job, actually. So it just kind of threw our recording schedule completely whack, which caused you to do a bunch of awesome solo episodes. I listened to them both.
Thank you.
I thought they were awesome. They helped me on the plane ride, the drive up to Boise from where I flew from, and then they helped me on the plane ride back to Boise when I was heading back home. So
for a solid 20 minutes apiece.
Yeah, 40 whole minutes is a lot to be taken out of a flight that you don't like to be on. So,
well, cool.
Yeah, so it was quite a bit of fun. Obviously, we heard your very sad news that you're going to be leaving the podcast on after the Switch comes out. We're going to be doing a couple more episodes with you. We appreciate everything that we've had here. Honestly, I know that we didn't really talk about doing like a goodbye segment in the show, but we should at least at some point talk about, you know, some of the fun that we've had in these last 2 years of doing this show.
Yeah, a reminiscing show a little bit. Probably before the Switch comes out. Because we don't want to try to be reminiscing when we want to be talking about the Switch.
Very true. And looking at the calendar, next week will be a good episode for that.
Yeah.
Right before the Switch comes out, and we can spend some time talking about our Nintendo love and all the fun stuff that we've been able to go through together, talking to developers, just experiencing different games at the same time. Like, it's been a lot of fun, obviously, NF Game Club, which we'll talk about a little bit later today. But, Holly, I also have a tad bit of sad news to talk to you about.
Well, what's that?
I am also going to be leaving the podcast. Yes, the podcast, sadly, unless there are some other editors or contributors on the Nintendo Fever podcast, after the Switch comes out, me and Holly will both sadly be stepping away from the podcast. Don't want to have too much of a downer moment at the moment, so we will definitely have a reminiscence show coming up very shortly next week, more than, unless anything like crazy news-wise happens, which is possible.
It'd have to be, I suppose so, but it would have to be pretty crazy.
We'll definitely
for us to not reminisce.
it will be a goodbye show next week for sure. But let's jump into some other fun stuff and talk about all the exciting things that are happening around the world of Nintendo and enjoy the time that we have for the Nintendo Fever podcast.
Yes.
We're going to skip over the Pokemon stuff. We haven't done that for a while, obviously. Partly my fault, I know. But we're just going to jump straight into some fun recent stuff that me or you may have purchased. I only got one cool thing, so I'm going to start it off real fast, okay?
All right.
I got Final Fantasy IV for the Nintendo DS.
Okay.
And I was able to find it at a local video game shop. Here's the really crummy thing about all the traveling that I did, Holly. I had absolutely no time at all to do one of my favorite things in the world, which is like going to thrift shops and pawn shops and stuff.
Oh.
I had no time at all. I didn't go to a single pawn shop or thrift shop up in Arkansas. I didn't get to like check Craigslist for any good deals. Like, I was so busy over that last week that I had no time to do any of the fun stuff that I was hoping that I'd be able to do. My plan was
if you travel.
Yeah, my plan was to come back to the show and be like, I got 50 new games for $30. Like, may have been a little grand, but I did get one other game 2 weeks ago, so it would have been the first episode I missed. Yu Yu Hakusho, also for the Game Boy Advance. If anyone knows what the anime Yu Yu Hakusho is, it's a pretty cool little anime, and the game that they made based around it's pretty crappy, but it brought back a whole lot of memories because I bought it when it first came out a long time ago now. And I don't know, I played through the first like 2 hours of it, and I was like, this is a terrible game, but I love it anyway. So,
because of the anime. I mean, I've been watching Inuyasha a lot lately, and I found out maybe a year or so ago, like, they made Inuyasha games. They're probably sucky, but I want them. I want to see what they're like.
Inuyasha, man, that is a tough show to get into. That is a mountain of a show right there.
Is it? I am so into it right now,
well,
man. Love it.
You started at the beginning, right?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
This is my second time through it.
Oh, really? Because that's one of the longer animes, isn't it? I thought that was... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what I mean by mountain. It's like, if you don't like get into it at the beginning, like, you can be, it's very daunting. Like, there's like, I want to say there's like 400 episodes or something like that. Maybe I'm over exaggerating.
Maybe not quite that many, 200 and something maybe, but
That's still but a yeah. daunting task.
I actually got a couple of seasons for Christmas. I wanted them for Christmas, and so I thought I'll rewatch it and then buy the seasons as I come to them. So I'm up to like season 5 or 6 right now, and I own all of those as well.
It's an in-depth show. It is a lot of myth
viewing.
And, oh, man, there is a lot of viewing. but the game that I did buy recently, which was Final Fantasy IV for the 3DS, I also saw Final Fantasy III for the DS.
The DS.
I opted out of getting 3 right now. I might go back and try to get it later if they still have it. But 4 is supposed to be the better one overall, so I wanted to go ahead and grab that one because the stories don't need to be followed one after another or anything like that. And I heard that the battle mechanic and the overall graphics and just the presentation and everything about Final Fantasy IV was really, it's just one step above 3, obviously. So that's one I got. I haven't had any time to put any time into it yet, but I am very excited to sit down and enjoy some Final Fantasy-ing.
Final Fantasy-ing.
Yes.
We just created a new word there, so yeah.
It's what I do.
It's legit.
If we only got a couple more episodes left, I'm going to make as many words as I possibly can. But yourself, Holly, were you able to get anything?
I did get something. This was kind of a while ago. I guess I could have talked about it in one of my solo episodes. Maybe I did, and I just don't remember. But I got a Pokemon Sun and Moon water bottle from the PokemonCenter.com. So it's, you know, pretty legit. Also pretty pricey, but I really wanted it. It is a black water bottle that features the 3 starter Pokemon from Pokemon Sun and Moon on it. So that is pretty awesome. I have it right here with my water in it in case my throat gets scratchy, which never happens, but, you know, just in case.
Well, you're basically an official Pokemon trainer now. I mean, you have actual Pokemon trainer gear to go on your journey, Holly.
Oh, yeah. And I did tell you about the special edition, treasure. Let's see, what do they call that? I don't know what it's called. I wish I could think of it. We'll call it a crate, but it's like this whole box chock full of goodies, special edition goodies, including even a certificate that says, like, this is an authentic, you know, special edition of, you know, all of this stuff. And it included like a little journal, like an Alola travel journal, trainer journal, if you will. I don't know. It included a passport, because in Pokemon Sun and Moon you don't have really a trainer card like you used to. You have a passport instead, and so there's like a replica of that passport that came in this little goodie box. And I did talk about it. You might have forgotten, but yeah, I just am, you know, I've got the Pokemon swag to go along with the game.
Well, that is the best way to go about it, is just all that swag makes you feel like you're just immersed in the world of Pokemon, right?
For sure, yeah.
But that did you get anything else besides the water bottle that you may or may not have talked about in a previous episode?
Nope, nothing else.
Okay, and that's all for me, too. So we're going to just go ahead and jump over to what we've been playing. We were going to talk about... No, we're not going to worry about it. We're just going to talk directly into what we've been playing, because I have been... So. Another one of my goals, Holly, I want to make this very clear, is I expected to have a lot of downtime, not necessarily downtime, but like I expected to get back to my hotel when I was in Arkansas for, you know, roughly, you know, 2 to 3 hours a night, right? I was like, oh, we'll get done at about maybe 5 or 6, we'll go have dinner, and then I'll get back about 8 o'clock, and I'll stay up till 10 o'clock, and I'll play my video games. Like, I brought everything with me to really make a dent in some of this stuff. I brought Pokemon, I brought Xenoblade Chronicles 3D, Holly.
Ooh.
I brought my Dragon Ball game, I brought just everything that I could think of, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. Like, I was going to play, like, devout time to each one of these games and, like, make a dent so I could talk about a lot of stuff when I got back here. And then it turns out everything that I did in Arkansas, I never got back to my hotel until about 10 o'clock at night, almost every single night. So I stared at my games a whole lot, but I did not play anything except
for Fire. It never works out the way you think.
Fire Emblem Heroes. I did play that quite a bit.
Okay. Yeah, so, we haven't talked about that. I talked about it in my first solo episode a little bit, I think.
So I did play a little bit of that, so I did want to just speak briefly on my enjoyment of it. I liked it a whole lot when I first started playing it. The more I play it, I'm kind of not necessarily down on it. It's just a little bit too simplistic for me. The maps are too small. That's my only gripe with it is, and I know it's on a cell phone, I get all that, but the maps are just too small in the fact that you don't have enough maneuverability on anything that you're doing. Everything the entire time to me feels like you're just moving forward to try and, you know, headbutt somebody. And then as long as you kind of have one of every color, you're pretty safe for the most part. I still haven't got Ike, which is the only reason I was playing this to begin with. And if I can't get him soon, then I'll probably just never worry about it again. But yeah, so I played some Fire Emblem Heroes. I also sat down and played my Dragon Ball Z Fusions for a little while, still enjoying the heck out of that. And then I did play a little bit of Pokemon, not more than about 30 minutes. I captured a Pokemon, basically, so I didn't do anything fun or exciting.
We've got a battle sometime. I think my Pokemon are finally kind of up to the same level. Maybe a little more, actually. If you're still in your mid-20s, then my Pokemon are up to 30-ish
I might beat you. No, I only had one Pokemon at 20. When we had spoken about this before, my fiery kitty was only like a 19 or I think something like that, which I don't think it's moved from. So we'll have to do that way that it gives you all the same level Pokemon for me to stand a chance, probably.
Yeah, it is. I mean, that way is kind of interesting because your Pokemon's base stats, like if your Pokemon are evolved, their base stats are better. So that if you were upped them to level 50, their base stats would kind of grow accordingly, or grow up to whatever level 50 accordingly. Whereas if your Pokemon isn't as fully evolved as it could be, then your base stats would also kind of grow accordingly. So you'd still be weaker if you had the unevolved Pokemon kind of a thing.
That's
why I keep, Gentis keeps saying, like, we got to have a battle. We can, you know, we can sync levels up to 50. It would be going up to 50 for me with my all of my unevolved Pokemon. Mm-hmm. And then down to 50 for him with probably his, you know, higher level team. And he would still beat me. A level doesn't mean a whole lot. It's base stats that matter.
Yeah, I didn't actually know that.
Yeah, a little Pokemon fun fact for everybody. Now, but I still would be totally willing to battle anybody.
we do need to do that. That might be part of the reminiscent show, is Pokemon battling while we're talking.
While we're on the show,
exactly.
That'd be pretty awesome.
Because it's been a long time since we've done that. Old fans of the show may remember within the first year we did the Smash Brothers episode.
Yeah.
Which was a lot of fun. So we need to do something like that again for sure.
Pokemon would be real suited for that too, I think.
Because it's turn-based, we wouldn't necessarily have to be super quiet on the microphone the whole time while we're
doing
the
show. I know, we could commentate it pretty easily, I think. Whereas with Smash Brothers, if I'm talking, I'm not doing well at all in the game.
Yes, much quietness happening when smashing.
Yes.
Now, I also played quite a bit because I made sure to over the past couple of days prior to this show, and then also before I left on my trip, I played quite a bit of NES Remix, but I want to save that talk until the end so we can both talk about it together. So what have you been playing this past week, Holly?
There's nothing really that I want to talk about because I haven't played. I've played a lot more of Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, so I suppose I could talk a bit about that, especially since I guess Fire Emblem Heroes kind of makes it semi-relevant.
Now,
and the fact
Shadow
that
Shadow Dragon, is that the one for the Wii U, right? The Virtual Console?
Right. It was originally on DS, but now I'm playing it on the Wii U Virtual Console. So it is a remake of the original Fire Emblem game, and I've talked about it before, but that's the reason I'm playing it, is because they're remaking the second Fire Emblem game and releasing it here in the West in an English localized version for the first time. So that's why I'm playing Shadow Dragon, and I'm really enjoying it. It's because it is, you know, the first Fire Emblem game ever, and I'm sure that they probably even added stuff to the DS remake, but it's really basic. It's just like Fire Emblem Foundation and basics, and I actually really like that about it. Some of the later Fire Emblem games start getting really complicated, like, you know, support conversations between characters and being able to have characters pair up, or being able to have one character kind of join up with a cavalier to be able to move that character forward. So the strategy has definitely gotten deeper and more complex, but it's sometimes fun to just go back to basics. And Shadow Dragon's pretty darn simple. I don't have to worry too much about all these crazy tactics that are in the later games. So I'm really enjoying that aspect of it. One nice thing is that, as in most Fire Emblem games, all of your characters have weapon levels, I guess. So they can't wield like higher level weapons until they increase their weapon level. I keep calling it level, but I think there's a name for it that I'm totally forgetting here. But in Fire Emblem Shadow Dragon, I feel like the weapon leveling and things like that is super simple. If you're weapon level E, you can wield iron equipment. If you are up to D, you can wield steel. If you're up to C, you can wield specialized weapons. I don't think there are any kind of like basic metal weapons that are level C. And so it's real simple. It's like, oh, this person leveled up to, you know, Lance level 3. So now I can have them wield, let's see, Lance level C. Sorry, they're letters, not numbers. So at C, I know that a Lance wielder can wield something special like the Rider's Bane or, you know, things like that. So really simple. And I've actually really enjoyed that. I'm all like, geez, Fire Emblem games have gotten complicated. And it's kind of fun going back to the basics. But kind of just as a comment, kind of going back to Fire Emblem Heroes, I kind of get where you're coming from where, you know, it just feels like the strategy isn't what it could be. Mm-hmm. My big thing, and I don't know if I mentioned this in my very brief impressions of the game like 2 weeks ago, but my big beef to pick with the game, I suppose, is the fact that you can't position your characters where you want them to at the beginning of a map. Why can't you do that? What would be the problem in being able to do that? You can do it, but you have to go like way back, like three menus, and then kind of like rearrange the preset teams that you have. That's the only way that you can rearrange where characters are on the map. And it's like, why? I mean, it's not like it would give you an unfair advantage if you could set them the way that you want them on the map. I don't know.
The other problem that I have, silly. That I think I would like this game just a tad bit more if the possibility... Now, you can battle other people in it, but you can't do live battle interactions. You can't actually battle like somebody at the same moment that you're battling them. I think real-time...
Right, you can just battle their teams.
Mm-hmm. And I think real-time multiplayer would have actually made this a lot more exciting. Not so much because you're going to be able to chat with them or anything like that, but there's a game that's out on the Android and iOS right now. It's called Clash Royale. It uses the stuff that was created in Clash of Clans, and they made it a base guarding slash card... dealing game. It's kind of hard to explain, but basically you're on opposite sides of the field and you tell your troops to go at any time when you have enough mana to summon them, basically. And you're trying to send them in the correct order to go and attack the other side while they're doing the same thing to you. Now, if you were just battling a team, it'd be kind of less exhilarating, but knowing that you're playing a real person at that exact time that you're battling kind of helps with the immersion and like the excitement of the gameplay itself. And then also I have a friend at work that used to play it, so like me and him would then play against each other. So it gave us that ability to actually interact with one another playing this game, where with Fire Emblem Heroes, I'd be like, oh, go battle my team. That would do nothing the same way that I would do it if I was the one playing against
you. Yeah, because it's all AI.
You. Exactly.
And I think the AI tends to kind of go easy on you anyway, so what's the point?
I've had some pretty easy matches. really easy matches. I've had some also very difficult matches where I feel like they were cheating in a way. Like, I don't know. Anytime when
this person clearly spent like $100 collecting orbs so that they could get perfect characters and all that jazz.
very possible, because that's sadly it is a free-to-play game, and I like that there's a lot to do in the free gameplay alone.
Yeah,
you know, which is nice. But the only other thing about it is it feels like you have to really grind a lot to be able to get what it is you're looking for. I still haven't got Ike, like I said, and I know I'm not like the person that's spending the most amount of time ever in this, obviously, but at the same time I just feel like I'm waiting to get that one thing that I wanted to do while
I
was.
You've got
to
go and play other Fire Emblem games. Learn who the characters are. That way, like, the characters that you get in Heroes, it's going to be like, oh, I know that person. I hate Ike. I have come to have this insane hatred for Ike just because everybody's obsessed with him. We worship Ike. We're silly. We don't play Fire Emblem. We play Super Smash Bros.
That is exactly me.
Lamos, you guys are not Fire Emblem fans.
Never
Everyone who voted for Ike and everything in that
never claimed
that big
to be.
Vote.
I got a Corrin. Did you get a Corrin?
I hate
yet?
Ike. No, I haven't gotten anyone too special. I got a couple of characters that aren't, you know, like, you know, main characters in their respective games, but I like them because I played the games, and I'm like, oh, it's Setsuna, I really like her character. She's a weirdo, kind of a weird goofball character. So, yeah, you gotta play the games to enjoy these characters. I don't know.
Just give me Ike. I'd pay for Ike if they gave me the ability to.
Play a real Fire Emblem game, and then I'll consider you a real Fire Emblem fan.
All right, any other games that you've been playing that you want to talk about?
Nope, just NES Remix.
All right,
oh,
let's go ahead and jump into our NF Game Club Game of the Month for the month of February. We decided to just do NES Remix, which is a game that originally came out, the first one came out in, I believe, 2014, maybe 2015.
Somebody, I have no idea on the year.
Nobody corrects me because I know I'm wrong. But then the next one came out very shortly after, and I've tried to play both of them quite a bit, actually, because after, so when the first one came out, I put a bunch of hours into it. I tried to unlock all the games immediately, and then I kind of dropped it off as soon as NES Remix 2 came out. And I haven't ever really gone back to it to go and experience, like, what was the first one like?
I forgot. Played too much of number two.
Well, because they are actually quite a bit different. And the reason why is because the sequel uses all these advanced games, like Mario Brothers 3, for instance, and Kirby's Dream Land. Like, these games came around the end of the life cycle of the NES. So, like, the graphics and what they were doing in their games were so much more large in spectrum that they're kind of crazy to see the stuff that they did. Where if you go back to the NES Remix 1, everything feels just so much more basic. Like, one of the games that I played a ton of this last time was Pinball. I forgot that Pinball was on NES Remix 1, and they have some really cool variations for Pinball on that. That was a lot of fun, I thought.
Huh. Also, by the way, Mr. Kirby fan, Kirby's Dream Land was on the Game Boy.
Yes, but...
It's Kirby's Adventure that would
Kirby's
be
Adventure.
An NES Remix.
My apologies.
No problem.
But I have been playing quite a bit. I've been playing the championship mode quite a bit. That's probably my favorite one to do.
Is that in two only?
Yes, it is in two only.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I've just been playing number one.
Oh, really?
I don't have number two or NES Remix Pack or NES Remix Collection or
number
whatever came out
so
on the 3DS.
Good.
It seems silly, though,
no,
to me. Like,
it's so at this, good.
How much can you get NES Remix Pack for, like, both games together?
I would hope you'd only have to spend roughly $20 if you were to buy it used. Like, if you can find somebody selling it local, you might be able to get it for $15, but I don't know if it sells for more. Just, I think when it came out, it was $30, maybe $40. I know nothing about prices in my life. But
Yeah, with the NES, because, oh my gosh, we got NES Remix. We got NES Remix 2. We got NES Remix Pack or, you know, whatever came out first on whatever system. See, now how much does NES Remix 2 cost by itself? If I paid money for NES Remix 2 to a quote-unquote complete my collection, would I have spent more than I would have on the pack version?
Not originally.
Than I would have on the pack.
Not originally, because originally it came out costing, I believe, about $30 to $40. So you would have paid basically the same price for both of them, I would imagine. But now if you try to buy it used, I'm seeing it on eBay at least for $20 to $25 you can buy it.
Okay. So, well, I don't know. I feel like I almost feel like I'm wasting money if I get NES Remix 2 by itself, and I'm also wasting money if I got NES Remix Pack or whatever. What the heck is the one on the 3DS called? I always forget.
Well, the one on the Wii U is definitely called Pack. Let me see if I can find what it's called on the 3DS. I bet you it's called 3DS Pack. It's called Ultimate Remix.
I was about to say, like, I don't think it had Pack in the name either. See, that's another thing. It's like, whoa, Nintendo, whoa. We're getting a lot of NES Remix here. I just got the first one. What am I supposed to do now? Get the Pack? Get the Ultimate one on the 3DS? I am kind of just like, meh, whatever.
You should have just bought it when it first came out, because it's an amazing video game. Yes, you should have just bought it when it first came out, because it's so good.
I guess I could still get it now. Why doesn't My Nintendo have it as a discounted game?
Because My Nintendo
that should happen.
Is dumb. We already know the answer to that, Holly.
I know. I actually, just a real quick tangent here, I spent some platinum coins to get a discount on Game & Wario, I think, on the Wii U Virtual Console, and I haven't even used that discount, because I'm just like, okay, I spent those coins on this discount, but I still have to spend a bunch of money. I only got like a 20% discount, which drops the game from $30 to $24. Yay. No, I'm not going to spend $24, even though I'm saving $6. Yay. It's just dumb. Anyway, tangent over.
We're not fans. I've been playing
NES Remix 1. We are not. And I try to defend it occasionally, but man, I just hate it. it's pretty bad. But back to NES Remix. I have been playing it. Probably not as much as you have in the past, and maybe you have this month as well, Matt. But been playing it by myself as well as with a friend. By myself, it gets frustrating. I'm easily frustrated, and this game drives me bonkers if I'm playing it by myself. But one night I did play it with a friend, and man, it was a riot playing that with somebody else where... I don't know. You have somebody to counteract your frustration. I don't. It's easier to get frustrated by yourself. It sounds like you're not one to get frustrated, Matt. Otherwise, you totally get where I'm coming from.
No, I got frustrated pretty heavily when I was playing Wario Woods on NES Remix 2. I gave up very quickly. I said, I don't care about this game is dumb. And I don't like it at all. No good on this game. And then
that's kind of how I feel on NES Remix with some of the games on there. Mario Bros., I used to think like, well, that game's not too bad. Now I think it just sucks.
No.
So bad. I hate that game so much. Well, everything about it. Thanks to NES Remix. Thank you, NES Remix. But playing it with people, super, super fun. You just take turns. Everything's really, you know, quick and rapid fire mini games and things. And so really, really fun to play with a friend.
It's kind of sad that there's not an actual two-player mode. There definitely should have been some sort of like party mode where gave you randomly like five different games that you and a friend had to compete against each other. And then at the end, it tallies your score and tells you who has the better score. That would have been the best way to do it. Also, Balloon Fight. There are games that I think it increases the amount of fun, though. Like in NES Remix 1, Pinball, for instance, I really like Pinball, playing it on the NES Remix, because they do some really cool little interesting tweaks to like the gameplay of it to kind of just have a very fun time with it. Also, the Ice Climbers. Ice Climbers is a terrible game and should never be played by anybody with a sane brain, in my opinion, almost. But the NES Remix stuff they do with it is a lot of fun, you know. On the first one, you see a lot more, they do a lot more interesting things where they change like the screen filter, basically. I think that was visually a lot of fun. Also, adding the other game assets from one game to another is always a lot of fun. I don't know, the game itself is, there's some really cool moments to be had playing NES Remix, and...
Oh, to be sure, yeah.
It was definitely a time that I remember of thinking like, oh man, Nintendo is doing something right. That was like one of my first things I thought of when they first announced NES Remix back in 2014.
They're doing something right with the nostalgia that everybody has.
Exactly, and they were feeding off of it the correct way by giving us a new game that took all these old games and did something fun and inventive and different with it. That was so cool. And now it's just, I don't know, now we just, obviously we always wanted
to be... Now we just get the NES Classic Edition and then nobody can even find one.
Nobody can even find
one. Way to go, Nintendo, gosh.
I think we're all semi-expecting to see like a Super NES Remix at some point, right?
Yes, like, please do that, Nintendo. That would be amazing.
That would have been a lot of fun to see. I don't know if you could really get that same kind of nostalgia for the N64 or the GameCube or anything like that, but like 2D games,
it'd
they welcome.
It'd be hard to remix them too. Yeah.
I would imagine so. But I would definitely say that 2D games are inviting to like have your nostalgia kind of played with, you know, it welcomes the ability to do these kind of cool things to it, I think. But I mean, that's about
how do you like playing NES Remix with the NES Classic Edition controller?
That's been pretty awesome. I actually got my very best score from the championship mode. I posted it. I don't remember what it is now, but I think I got ninth overall, which was pretty exciting. I don't know if you know, but in the challenge mode or the championship mode, you go through three different games. You go through Super Mario Bros. 3. Or actually, it starts like this. Super Mario Bros. 1, you have to collect 50 coins. Super Mario Bros. 3, you have to collect 25 coins. And then you have to play Dr. Mario until the remainder of your time, because you start with 6 minutes, runs out. And I've always done okay. I've gotten like to 15 to 11 on the leaderboard and stuff like that. But playing with the NES Classic controller, I was able to get into number 9, which is the very best I've ever done. So... I'm not saying it obviously helps me, but I think it's pretty awesome. That's all I'm saying.
It is. It feels great. So
you need to play the championship mode it's so much fun. I can't believe you don't have any.
When you say leaderboard, are we talking like an actual people around the world leaderboard type thing?
Legit leaderboard, yeah.
Wow, nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. I was thinking like ninth. That doesn't sound that great. But now it sounds great. Yeah. That's awesome.
Over many, 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 many people. I finished in the bottom 150. It only goes to 100. It refreshes every day. I'm not sure if it's every day or if it is every week. I can't remember exactly how they do it. But instead of having a continuous leaderboard, because Nintendo does Nintendo things, it refreshes itself every week or every day or something like that, which is just bizarre to think that they do that. But yeah, I've definitely had a lot of fun. I'm going to play a lot more of it. I think we should probably try to come back with our favorite games next week when we talk about NES Remix and kind of talk about more in depth of what it is we like about the stuff that it does or the things that it changes up or whatever the case may be.
Okay, that sounds great to me. Yeah.
All right. Well, and then let's go ahead and jump out of what we've been playing in NES Remix for the NF Game Club. And by the way, folks, you can hit us up on Twitter using the hashtag NF Game Club and let us know what you have been playing for the NES Remix. And if you don't have NES Remix, like you're a crazy person and you just never got it for whatever reason, I wouldn't recommend getting it now because it will not transfer to the Switch probably. But I would recommend playing some old NES games and let us know what you are feeling nostalgic about. You can find us on Twitter using hashtag NF Game Club, as always.
And nobody, like, we had a giveaway this last week. All you had to do was use the hashtag. Nobody did.
Nobody did.
All missed out on getting 10 bucks.
You would have only
10 bucks for free.
One person is all that needed to have done it. Mm. And you would have won it.
Yep.
So,
sorry, guys.
Let's go ahead and jump into a little bit of a feature talk. Holly, you like The Legend of Zelda.
Mm, yeah, for sure.
You're excited about The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
Oh, yes. That's an understatement.
Now, Holly, how do you feel overall about downloadable content in which you pay for?
Oh, gosh. I'm so conflicted on this. I almost feel like I've always been one to like the traditional kind of Nintendo thing where, you know, they release a game. It's a full game. Bam. It's there. We're good. We move on. But, you know, the rest of the world doesn't usually follow that. You know, a lot of developers obviously have a lot of continuing content for their games. So I don't know. I'm really, like, it almost leaves a weird bitter taste in my mouth when I think about the downloadable content, the expansion pass that we're getting for Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. But at the same time, think about this. I mean, we're getting content, like, we're getting a little bit of extra content if you buy the pass, like, on day one when you first get the game. We're getting more content in the summer, though, followed by winter. And who's to say that we won't get even more? Not that this expansion pass will, like, I think Nintendo would charge even more if we were to get more beyond that. But man, this is the type of game where I'm going to spend tons and tons of time in it. And the more content there is, the better, because I'm just going to enjoy being in the world, I guess you could say. I mean, I haven't been playing Xenoblade Chronicles X for hours upon hours lately for no reason. I just like to play that game. I enjoy it. And if they had a lot of downloadable content for that game, well, forget about me playing anything else ever. So yeah, when you think about it, I think that that's a really cool thing, but making it downloadable content, not giving us a very good idea of what it is. Like I'm like, okay, $20, that's kind of a lot of money here, Nintendo. I know we're getting, you know, a new dungeon and a new storyline later on this year, but at the same time, I'm just like, I don't know. The only thing we're getting initially is a few extra treasure chests in the world. Isn't that what it is?
And you get a
and
Switch
shirt. And then hard
mode, or? You get a Switch shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Which makes no sense, because if you're playing Legend of Zelda, do you really want to be wearing a Nintendo Switch shirt while you're...
question is, like, what on earth is it going to look like? Do we have any idea what it looks like?
Yeah,
that's another thing. It's like
a
Nintendo release. Really? Okay, so there are pictures out there.
I don't know if it was an official picture, though, or if it was just like a fan mock-up type picture, but it's literally Link wearing a shirt that says the Nintendo Switch on it.
Like
a
t-shirt?
Yes, a t-shirt.
With the logo?
Well, yes. It's so weird. You got to look it up. But
that's weird. It's like Nintendo's trying to advertise the Switch, but they're making people pay for that content. Does that make any sense whatsoever?
So the expansion will be $20, and it will come with two DLC packs. One will add a hard mode and a Cave of Trials, like the Twilight Princess, and the other will add a new dungeon and an original new story. The whole package will also let Link wear a t-shirt with a Switch logo on it for some reason, and you can't purchase any of these packs individually, I guess. So it's either $20
or
nothing.
Yeah, that's another thing. I feel like $20 is quite a bit for one thing. Why can't you buy them individually? So why don't... Because with the Mario Kart 8 DLC was amazing, in my opinion, because if you bought... a pack individually, you weren't getting as good a deal as if you bought them together. So, you know, you felt like, oh, I'm paying $12 and I'm actually getting a discount on this. Now with The Legend of Zelda, I'm just like, everyone's just going to pay $20. There's no real incentive, I feel like, to paying that amount of money until we find out what the actual content is, really.
I think I would be less surprised about the DLC and this expansion pass. You know, it's basically a season pass, which is just such a weird term because it only lasts for a little while usually. But anyways, you know, it's $20 for this, and I'd be less surprised if they hadn't already done it with Mario Kart. When they did it with Mario Kart, not so much with New Super Mario Bros. U, just because it wasn't so much a downloadable content as it was like a downloadable expansion pack, basically. I don't know, they just felt different to me. But with what they did with Mario Kart felt like very natural, and it felt like, yeah, it's time for that stuff to kind of start happening. If none of that would have happened during the time of the Wii U, this would have been crazy to even think about. But it doesn't feel quite so crazy or surprising. It feels like this is probably the right game to do something like this for, and I don't think $20 is outrageous. The problem is, whenever you add money onto something like this, to a video game that's already costing me $60, you know, I'm already going to pay $60 and you're asking for another $20. This video game is now costing me $80. That's just crazy to me. I mean, I know that there's special editions that come out that cost way more money, but you get like physical stuff with it and stuff, but
I ordered the special edition for $100, so $120 when all said and done.
The fact that your special edition didn't come with the DLC is kind of crazy on its own.
That is, yeah, that's another thing. I thought, I mean, I know that the Tokyo Mirage Sessions Sharp FE special edition, which I wanted that so bad, and I don't know, I told the story before, didn't get it for various reasons, but that part of that deal, getting the special edition, was that you got all of the downloadable content.
Yep.
So,
which can make it or break it, honestly. Like, it would have been much more inviting and easier to spend that money knowing that you're not only going to get the game that you paid for, but also additional content to play afterwards as well.
Mm-hmm. But, as well as physical goodies. I love those.
I don't know. We'll see what happens with the future of this whole DLC stuff, if every game's going to be plagued with it or if it's just going to happen occasionally. One of the interesting tidbits also is that, like, for instance, 1-2 Switch, I believe it has 28 games now is what they're talking.
I think so.
Which is a ton of games, but is it going to, in a month after it release, are they going to, like, do, like, a $5 game add-on pack or $10 game add-on pack? I don't know. You know, it's everything is, the doors are wide open at this point, and we'll kind of see what happens from here on out.
I think the biggest thing is you have a choice. I mean, if I got 1-2 Switch and I didn't really want the extra content, I don't want to spend extra money on extra content, then you don't have to do it. But with The Legend of Zelda, I don't know. People, gosh, an extra story thing and everything, people are going to be like, well, I'm missing out. Like, legit missing out. More so than if they didn't get something in Mario Kart. Like, with Mario Kart, it's like, meh, you know. If I don't, you know, particularly play Mario Kart a whole lot, then I'm not missing out. But with a game like Legend of Zelda and with story expansions and things like that, that's something that people are going to feel they're missing out on if they don't buy it. But it still is a choice. So that's the good thing about DLC.
Yep. But moving on from that, let's go ahead and jump over to last week, Holly. You answered some listener questions. Mm-hmm. And I thought it'd be fun, and you said it too, actually, to have me answer those listener questions as well, because I wasn't here to answer them with you, obviously.
Yes. We don't want to let the listeners down. You guys are our best friends.
So. Yeah, we appreciate you. Even when you don't want $10, we still appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure.
So let's go ahead and go through these. Let's see, which was the first one you answered? The Cody one, right?
Yeah, I just answered them right in order as they appear on our notes here.
Okay, and Cody's question was, should I buy the Switch and Mario Park Paint?
You didn't watch the video he sent
in the
email.
I did watch it. I figured I'd tackle that next. I've known about Nathan Beretta. So for a backstory for anyone that doesn't know, there's a video from Nathan Barnett. I don't know how you say his name. What would you say?
Barnett.
Okay, Nathan Barnett. He's a YouTube personality. He's a over-exaggerated version of a geek. Who loves Nintendo and Sega and Atari and all sorts
of
stuff.
The 90s.
And he made a video where he was being it was about Sega and Nintendo and stuff like that. It was just a really funny video.
Music video parody kind of thing.
And I liked
it. He's a goofball. Yes. That's an understatement too, but just go go look him up if you haven't already. And I'm curious if anybody looked up the Virtual Boy fail that he did, because that one is one of my favorites of his.
It's when he tried to wear it really like a weird handheld?
He straps the thing to his face and crashes into things, and it's hilarious.
Very, very funny video. But he asked, should I buy the Switch, is the first thing that his main question, basically. And Cody, I think you should spend your money on whatever you think you should spend your money on. I'm not going there. I think you should buy it. I think that if you're a Nintendo fan and you're interested in seeing what type of things are coming out, I think you answered the question very, very good, Holly, when you said that you buy a console at launch out of the promise that you're going to have fun experiences coming up. You can buy it later, but you're always going to have to drop that initial payment of whatever the cost of the system is. Now, if you wait a couple of years, there's the possibility that you'll get it at a price drop or a really good deal or something like that. But for me, who's interested in playing the system from the very beginning until the very end, I think that buying it at launch is the best way to experience it through growth, obviously. You look at the Wii U, for instance, when it first came out, it had the ability to have this bizarre TV channel. I don't know if you ever used it or remember it.
Nintendo TV.
Exactly.
V with two eyes. Yeah, TV.
Yeah, now it's gone. And people that didn't ever purchase it at the beginning never even got to see it or experience it, you know?
Nintendo Video on the 3DS, that was kind of a quirky thing that I actually enjoyed quite a bit.
I did too. I don't know why I did.
When you could actually send people notes through the internet. Now you've got Swap Doodle and everything like that. But for a while, there was no way to send handwritten notes to people on the internet.
So the best way to experience some of the quirkier sometimes things of these consoles and these systems is to get them at launch. And I think
you almost feel like a test beta for the console.
Yes, you are completely a test. You're a guinea pig to the umph degree when you buy something when it first comes out. New tech is always devastating, but it can also be really, really exciting as well. So I think you should get one as long as that interest is there for you personally. I know you're a big Zelda fan, so I'm assuming that Breath of the Wild is going to have your heart. And I know you can get it for the Wii U as well, but I think sadly we're just kind of moved on from that whole aspect of what the Wii U is and was, and I want to see that new thing that's going to be exciting.
Aonuma has said that it will look better on the Switch too, so
I would hope so.
Not like leagues better, but better. TV mode, like Aonuma has said, like TV mode with the Switch is the way to play that game. It'll look the best in that mode. Which I, you know, hearing about like the possible lag problem that there has been like here and there with people who have had a chance to play Breath of the Wild on the Switch, I am a little concerned, but Aonuma has said it. I'm hoping that it's true, that it'll look great on TV mode. Switch.
I'm not too worried about it, but I definitely have that fear of concern that you're going to drop all this money on this brand new game and you're going to be like, this is a slightly underwhelming.
Yeah, with but the frame rate and all that.
Then Ben at Nuke the Bridge, good guy, like that guy, wrestling guy. He asks us, what are you guys most excited for on Switch launch day? I know you already answered. One of my most exciting things about Switch launch day is kind of playing 1-2 Switch, and I know that sounds kind of weird, but
it sounds less and less weird to me every day that goes by. I'm a little more sold on getting that game eventually.
Well, that game is going to be the game that me and my daughter play a lot, and me and my wife and my younger kids. Like, the fact that you can just kind of use these two controllers and play these mini games and just kind of have a blast and a fun time, I know for sure that is going to take over the majority of play while my kids are still awake, you know. After
plus it is the tech demo, so you're going to get to test out HD Rumble in its full glory and the IR camera and everything. So, yeah, it's not too bad, I guess.
Yeah, I think that it's going to that alone has me really excited for the Switch launch days, to bring it home, set it up, and then play all those fun, you know, the gun shooting game with my kids and stuff, like, and seeing them play with the gun shooting game with each other. And I don't know, that kind of stuff. Also, I plan on taking this over either that weekend or the next weekend to a friend's house, and we can all sit around and look at the glory that is Zelda, or we can play 1-2 Switch and have a fun party game that we're going to play with each other, you know. So 1-2 Switch definitely has quite a bit of excitement for me. And then as we get closer to the Switch launch day, it's just kind of those hidden announcements that we don't know about yet, such as Virtual Console, and then like just kind of all the extra games that might be coming for the eShop and stuff like that. My most excited eShop game is that Snipperdoodle game. I think I cannot wait for that to come out. I think that'll be so much fun to play. Snipperclips.
Snipperdoodle, the missed opportunity. They should have called it that.
You got me thinking of what the doodle game that we talked about. Swapping Doodle, whatever. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, Swap Doodle. Yeah. Of course.
I added them together. So that's what I'm excited for Switch launch day. And then Blind Hostility, Mike, he says, how do you feel the Switch launch will compare with the Wii and the Wii U launches? Now, I remember what you said. Obviously, we're under the assumption that it won't do nearly as well as the Wii, but it'll obviously do better than the Wii U. That's what we're kind of banking on, and that's almost a too easy road to say because it's either, well, do you think it's going to fall in a canyon or do you think it's going to be lifted to the sky? It's like, ah, somewhere in the middle. Right there in the middle, which is...
Who knows? Maybe it'll explode in popularity. I mean, Nintendo's got some good advertising going right now.
Do.
I think the Super Bowl ad was received pretty well, and Nintendo has never had a Super Bowl ad before. So, and then there, you know, I've seen people over the internet talk about other places where they've seen ads on TV. You know, TV stations for adults. You don't see that. I mean, I see when my sister's watching Disney Channel, I see, you know, kid-friendly Nintendo commercials all the time, but you don't see it on adult channels. So who knows? Maybe this thing will actually be, like, you know, the item for gamers to get this March.
I think
this tax refund season.
Oh, yeah. Ooh. Yeah, perfect timing, Nintendo, by the way. Perfect timing. But the one thing about it that I think that Nintendo has a small bit of advantage in comparison to both the Wii U and more similar to the Wii is that it feels like new technology. Even though it's similar in idea to what, like, the Wii U kind of was in a way, it feels different than when the Wii first came out and it exploded in popularity with the Wiimotes and motion gaming and all that stuff. This has that small bit of reminiscence to me of being really exciting, right? Like, the Wii U gamepad was always exciting from the base point of, like, you can play a game from your TV on your screen and it has a touchscreen, all that kind of stuff. But this feels like a legitimate piece of hardware and technology that's going to do something different than what was done before. And it's not like,
yeah,
you don't have to have the TV at all. Like, obviously,
there's a sense of hype,
yes,
that I feel like wasn't around the Wii U.
You know, and here's the thing is I wonder if we'll ever see games that utilize both screens, if that's a possibility. I wonder if we're going to
doubt it.
Because think of games like Zombie U, right? Zombie U was really exciting when it first came out, and it had some decent hype behind it. But one of the problems with that game is you couldn't use the gamepad for one of the best features, which was off-TV play, because it relied so heavily on using the bottom screen for different functionality. And I kind of wonder if we're going to see anything that operates like that. I guess we can't, because you have to have it docked. I don't know why I said that. Yeah, don't.
Yeah, that's
I need to delete all of that right now. I'm going to sound like a complete moron.
Thankfully, Matt is editing this week, so, I mean, if he wants to.
I'll just keep it all in. I came to the conclusion while we were on air that it wouldn't work, so I'm glad that I came to that conclusion. But yeah, this feels like a new piece of technology, and I'm going to leave it there. And then finally, Gentis asks, what was your favorite game of 2016? And I took a little bit of time to look over what came out in 2016 so that I would have hopefully a little bit better of a idea of what to say. And as
better
I looked,
than me, you mean? Because last week I was going like, oh, yeah, this game was so good. Oh, wait a minute. There was this. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, all of that jazz. I completely forgot, like, Pokemon. How did I forget Pokemon came out last year? Jeez.
Well, honestly, I mean, I did the same thing, too. But for me, it kind of fell back, like, obviously Pokemon Sun and Moon I had a great time with, and I really enjoyed playing it when it came out. I didn't get a ton of new stuff on the Wii U. Like, I missed out on playing Color Splash. I missed out on playing Star Fox and the two
Star
other...
Star Fox came out last year?
I believe it did. I think
wow!
It, yeah,
okay.
I'm pretty positive it did.
Yeah, I got that one and everything. Didn't play it much, but someday, you know?
Yeah, someday we might all play good games. Anyways, but I kind of fell back to one game that I was so happy that it came out in the States that because I was worried it wasn't going to come out. And then when I got to actually sit down and play it, I really enjoyed it even more than what I thought I was going to, with a really unique battle system, a really good storyline behind it, and then just a lot of fun and interesting moments to be had while playing it. So it has to be, for me personally, Dragon Ball Fusions. I mean, I absolutely adore Dragon Ball Fusions because I am such a big Dragon Ball fan, and it does so many cool, unique gameplay mechanics with it. It changes up certain things, and it allows you to really just kind of play it any way you want to. It is such a fun RPG, and turn-based style RPG too. Like, I really, really enjoy Dragon Ball Fusions. So for me personally, like, there is no other game that could have been my favorite game of 2016 like this game personally.
And it's cool seeing licensed games that are actually good like that. I'm really impressed that game has gotten accolades from you, at least. And I think I've heard other people talk about how great it is. Yeah. I mean, earlier we were talking about how bad whatever that game is based on that anime.
Oh,
what's the anime?
Yu Yu Hakusho. Yeah.
Yeah, and the game, you know, the game that came with it is bad. I've played we should have a whole episode, oh man, on licensed games that we've played.
Would have been very easy.
I played a licensed game on Happy Feet that was horrible. I think I played one on Finding Nemo that was terrible. Again, I'm sure that Inuyasha ones are pretty bad. And so, yeah, to see something like this, Dragon Ball Fusions is what it's called?
Yep, just Dragon Ball Fusions.
It's awesome to see a game based on something else that is actually good.
If I was to pick a game that came out in 2016 for the Wii U that was probably like my favorite game for the Wii U, I'd probably sadly have to just go as far back as The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, and I know that's kind of a cop-out because it was released on the Wii and the GameCube much, much earlier, mm-hmm. and they just had a HD remake for it, but at the same time, I really enjoyed playing it.
It's a very excellent game.
And it was the one probably that was the newest game besides, you know, Splatoon and Mario Kart and Mario Maker and Mario 3D World. All those games that I played the most of on my Wii U was probably The Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess, I would say.
Yeah.
So
that's all right. Poor Wii U. I mean, I played a couple of games that came out on Wii U that I was impressed with. Tokyo Mirage Sessions, man,
mm-hmm.
good game. So, yeah, it had an all right year last year. Everybody says, like, oh, it was a terrible year. There was not a single good game in it. And I'm all like, there were some good games in it. Trust me on that.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be too surprising if you were to really break down the Wii U's life cycle and notice that many good games came out for it, many fun experiences. I mean, there can always be more. We're always going to be greedy as gamers and want more games and more experiences. At the end of the day, sadly, a lot of us don't even finish the majority of games that we buy. I mean, I'm an example of that. I don't do a great job of always beating everything. I try my darndest to beat it all, but sometimes you just
don't. I don't even play everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my problem. Matt will give like a couple of hours to every new game he gets, and
I try.
I save them for later and then never get to them. That's the sad thing about me. But
yeah, Star Fox was released on April 22nd of 2016.
Ooh. I can't believe I just completely forgot that. Yikes. But do you remember? I was thinking about that Pokken tournament.
Yes.
Yeah, I played the demo for that. That's about it. I'm not a huge fighting game fan. I've got to try to get into the, you know, mechanics, I guess, of your typical one-on-one fighting game. But
Bayonetta 2
Bayonetta
wasn't
didn't come out last
in 2016.
Year.
I'm on the Nintendo
website.
Oh, not
website.
By
says, a long shot.
It says February 19th, 2016, Bayonetta 2. That is wrong.
What?
Nintendo,
that cannot
you are
be
lying.
Right. I swear it was like 2014, the same year Smash Brothers came out.
Bayonetta 2.
That's weird.
Yes, I don't know why it's even telling me lies like that. Yeah, it was 2014.
That's odd.
Yeah, so the Nintendo website is totally lying. And, maybe it's because there was a price drop to $30. Maybe that's why it's saying it. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. We're gonna move on before we just sound crazy. I think that's about it, Holly. I can't think of anything else to talk about at the moment. So I think we're going to have to say adieu. Thank you so much for the questions, and thank you so much for talking to me about this awesome Nintendo geeky stuff. Next week, we'll be having a small reminiscent episode to go over all the fun times that we've had and try to recap some of the awesome memories and developers and just fun stuff that we've talked about over the 2 years that we have done this show. Obviously, our two-year anniversary happened over the break between last episode and this episode, but we will definitely do some more reminiscing next episode and getting ready for the Switch, which is only a week and a half away at this point when you listen to this on Monday, basically.
Oh yeah.
So you can find me as always on Twitter at only Matt Dezen. You can find Holly at a new Twitter handle.
I'm at Lil Red Koopa.
Yes.
L-I-L Red Koopa.
Can't believe that was open, by the way. What a good snag.
I guess so. I kind of was hoping for Lil Red, because that's kind of, you know, I'm a redhead. Figured it was kind
Koopas
of a... Koopas are cool. So,
yeah.
And there
Nintendo
are red
oriented.
Ones.
Yeah,
and
then
so
also
Lil Red
you can
Koopa.
Find the Nintendo Fever Twitter account at Nintendo Fever. Thank you guys so much for listening. Send us your tweets, questions, and all sorts of other fun stuff. And also let us know if you're playing NES Remix by using the hashtag NFGameClub. So, until next time, this is goodbye. Goodbye.
Yep. See you guys.